if the Meshumet is Mekadish and Isha, she requires a get. And we discussed the parameters of this in terms of the Sefer HaEshkol and the Rebart Saloni that he quotes, the Tudinim, what he calls Tudinim, being a Ben Yisrael on the one hand, as opposed to, other matters, more personal matters. And we discussed that particular issue. I mentioned the view of the Meiri, which is that the next generation, the generation that is born into a state of Shmad, is somebody who maybe, about whom you would not say Yisrael, at Bishvati Yisrael, they're necessarily Paskin like that Meiri, it's considered Shita Siachin, but it is an important Shita. In general, this is the question, this tension, and if there really is a tension, according to most Rishonim, there is, we do say, Yisrael af bishachati Yisraelu, Kiddush of Kiddushin, Gerush of Gerushin, etc. And at the same time, we say Hareu Kagai. The question is how to navigate or negotiate that apparent stira. But it should be aware that when we discuss the sugya of Kuti, which again, we're sometimes Kori Lamafreya, but it ends on Daf Bava Mir Aleph. So when the Tosis Rid wants to analyze Kuti, one of the things that he says very explicitly is that in his opinion, we don't paskin that Mumel Lechalel, Shabbos, and Avodah Zarah are Mumel Lechol Tzara Kula V'arehem Kitgoyim Lechol Advarim. He thinks that if you paskin Yisrael Ava Pichachata Yisrael Hu, meaning that Kiddush of Kiddushim, then it means that we don't paskin that Harehu Kigoyim. Even though the Gemara says it here in our Sugya in Chulin, here on Daf Hayyamin Aleph, and the Gemara repeats it in the Sugya in Eruvin, and a few other places, the Tosis Rid simply thinks that this is Shalom Haliba the Hilchus, that's the solution problem. And Shulti Giborim here, Alapar, quotes that that Tosis Rid. That's also Tosis Rid's view in Masechet Avodah Zarah. So those are important positions. I wanted to suggest, in trying to explain the tshuva of the Tashbates and Rambam Shita, Ram says that a Meshumad or a Mumar is somebody who is Pasul, is Pasul Ksivas Aget in the Torah, even though presumably Gerush of Gerushin and certainly Kiddush of Kiddushin. So there I was trying to make the distinction between his personal status and then his capacity to serve as a representative for the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's, I think, an important distinction as well. So something along those lines, although also kind of a parallel opposite, we find in another Makar as well. So I thought this is an interesting tshuva, and, by no means, the final word on the topic. There's this massive, as you can imagine, debate among the poskim about the status of Bechal Shabbos Befarhesia, Legabe Tziruf Leminyan. Obviously, in our times, and I don't just mean, the 21st century, I mean, the 19th, the 20th especially, and the 21st century, this question of the Bechal Shabbos Befarhesia's role in a shul, in a Leminyan, is a very critical one. So on the one hand, this is a massive question, again, part of the Yisrael Afa Pishachata Yisrael who question, Tulsi alluded to in this tshuva as well, the concept of Tinok Shenishma, meaning when people grew up, if you grew up in, I guess Lakewood or Borough Park or Williamsburg or maybe Kew Garden Hills, I don't know, where the world, has a certain clearer focus, and there's a certain insularity, and you grow up in the Orthodox, in the Torah community, so the concept of Mumer Lechalos HaShabbos Parhesia is a very understandable and a very compelling concept, although again, as we'll see, even that somewhat gets affected by the larger environment, but certainly somebody who isn't coerced, and even if he's not a literal Tinek Shenishba, in the sense that he knows he's Jewish, maybe even has a Jewish identity, maybe gives money to the UJA, maybe he's a strong advocate for Israel and an important leader of AIPAC or a member of the Israeli government, etc. But somebody who grows up in an environment, that lives in an environment where he may know intellectually what is demanded of an observant Jew, but at the end of the day, that's not his world. It's not the impact or the influence, that has shaped his perspective. He's a secular Jew, or he's one of the denominations, but not out of rebelliousness. Simply, this is the background that he has. So there's a whole literature, which I'm not going to go into right now, but it's very fascinating, about expanding the notion of Tinok Shenishba. Not Tinok Shenishba in a literal sense, but a kind of an intellectual, emotional, spiritual sense. And there is some overlap to that, even for people who probably, are even more educated and aware, simply by virtue of, living in our world, very science-oriented, very rationalistic, seemingly, etc. And, even if you grow up in Williamsburg and Lakewood and Kew Gardens Hills or Jamaica Estates or whatever it is, you have, if your computer doesn't fail like mine does, and you read the newspaper, so we're all exposed to the developments, that go on, around us. And that can have a very undercutting, can be a very good thing if we're strong and fortified in our views. And those of us, who put that first, that's what's primary, and everything else gets filtered out, or hopefully at least we try to filter everything else with that, then this access can be a very positive thing. You call it whatever you want, Torah Obadan, Torah V'Chachma, Torah V'Das, Torah Imderach Eretz, etc. I'm certainly a strong advocate of it. But if you don't have those priorities, then it can be a very confusing era. Even if you do get an exposure, if you are brought up in an Orthodox community. And consequently, the category of Tinok Shenishba, meaning of how we assess what constitutes Shmad, etc., is much more flexible. Again, if it were due simply to the Ma'isa Meira, then it wouldn't be. But if it's due to a certain sense of Mumrius, the Shumadut, in other words, then it's possible. And it's very well known that Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, in Binyan Tzion, one of his shuvas, and much later the Chazon Ish, in Hilchos Shechita, are different formulations of this. Rabbi Chaim had his own perspective on this as well. If the majority of the Jewish world is not observant, then that can impact when we say, for example, that's what they argue, Moridin Velo Mahlin, because we understand, we have an appreciation that as unacceptable as that kind of behavior remains, no one is justifying it, Chalila, or rationalizing it, but in terms of assessing it as being a deliberate affront or rebellion, etc., that of course, is important to impact. Anyways, there's a whole literature on the question of being mitzaref, somebody who's a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, to a minyan. And, there's a wide range of views on that topic. I just wanted to bring one because it highlights some of the things that we've been talking about, and also because, not so many people read the tshuvas of Rav Herzog, the friend of the Bracha, who was a giant in his own right, and somebody who had a keen understanding of the broader world, and yet was a first-tier, first-rate Talmid Chacham. So it's interesting to see his perspective on this issue, but it's even more interesting, to do the topic properly and to see, a range of views. And it really is an interesting window. So I thought we'd just run through very quickly before I would then move to a couple of other points before we wrap all of this up, to a tshuva that he wrote, which I think is very provocative in one way, but also throws out a lot of interesting ideas and is interesting. So this is in the Mar Mekomos of last week, on the bottom of page 2, this is set 11. Everybody have that? Okay. So in set 11, you'll see on line 31, you'll see the Shelos Tshuvos Heichal Yitzchak, that's of Herzog's Shelos Tshuvos, Arachayim Simon Base. They reprinted his tshuvas recently, they redid them, and they organized them differently. I think it's Simon Yud Gimel and the newer ones. They no longer, the new ones aren't called Heichal Yitzchak, it's called Piskei something, whatever, Agriya or something like that. Anyways, the Sheila is as follows. Bechad Shehorish Beis Sol Beis HaKnesses, a person earmarked his home, you know, as a gift to the Beis HaKnesses, Bachar Meir Yastrin, the Karen Avur Schiras Minyan, and he also left money, you know, to help, you know, whatever the costs are to make sure, you know, that there's a proper minyan. Rabos Hayanim, Kashal HaSigas HaMinyan, and again, it's a taste of reality. As time went on, the Chilul Shabbos became more commonplace in the community. So the only way to maintain or upkeep this minyan was to include Mechalei Shabbos. And the question was, Mefshel Tzarpos on the minyan, and Zeyatim L'ruach HaTzava. These are two different questions, which Rav Herzog ends up, as you'll see, answering in two different ways. Number one, legally, formally, can you count a Mechalel Shabbos to a minyan? That's the most interesting question for us. And the second is, even if you can, is that consistent with the tzava, you know, with what the donor, you know, really had in mind? So Rav Herzog is going to present a much more flexible picture about the first point. He's going to be, in the end of the day, Machmir, I'm just telling you now, I'll read it very quickly, because of the second day, which is fascinating, because you would have thought, you know, if anything, you know, the more flexible point is like, what does he mean? What would he have wanted? You know, in the end, he's inflexible, and he's going to reject the idea that you can, which again, just shows how, he doesn't, I mean, it's obviously sincere, just shows how the flexibility in the first part is something which, of course, he was really struggling with as a person who was a, you know, Klal Yisrael person and also a halachist of first rank, you know, trying to balance both. So this is how he puts it. After skipping the first line, this is to Rav Nosson HaLevi Bamberger from Copenhagen. So he says, Michtavo HaYakar Ma'or, the ode, it should be, Me'or Liyom Gil Parshas Chayisara Hutsa Lefanai, Hareni Bazela Hashiv, says this is the answer that I'm about to give, and it is as follows. It says, Mechalei Shabbos Adayin Shem Yisrael Alar, which is another way of saying Yisrael Alar B'Shechata Yisrael Hu. Then he adds, Adin Mechalei Shabbos HaMineach Tfilim B'Chol Yom, we'll get to it in a second. The first point, Etzem HaDavar Mechalei Shabbos B'Parhes Yadino Kemu Mar La'akum Eino Aliba D'Kula Alma. So again, that's surprising a little bit, because basically we know it's a machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin, Samach Tesav and Aleph, but certainly the dispute in the Rishonim is that Rabbah Mechalas HaShabbos Parhesya Hareyu Kugot, which he ends up having to say, Ayin Erevin Samach Tesav and Beis Haytan Dechmir Lav Shabbos Ka'akum Ulam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Sava She'eno Ka'akum El Inyan Litin Rishos. But then he has to acknowledge, line 4, Linyan Halacha, the Rambam Posek, the Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, the same Rambam which we've seen a few times, that we're going to see there. Karakim Halacha Dal, Kahaitano. Shemchal Shams Parasya, Ein Makabu Menu, Shem Korba. And then he says, it is an interesting, very interesting Ha'ara, Ulachora, Kivin She'ein Makabu Menu Karban, he wants the proof from that, not only that Kigoy Lachol Advarim, but that initially that would be a direct proof that you can't be mitzaref in Mechal Shabbos to a minyan. Because who kemokein pasol et tzirif asara, tshar tfilos b'mokov tmidim tiknu. So that is a chiddush. It may be, we have to, consider whether it's a compelling chiddush, but the idea that category of kabbalas karbanos would be the category of tzira flaminyan because of the connection between and tefillah is an interesting idea of a hertzah. Okay. Ach, so that's the chumrah. Ach ein ze mukhrah, immediately goes back on it. There's this other big chiddush in the other direction, just to see how he's handling it. Sha'amnam rasha kazeh tarfin tefillah seinu b'fana. Aval b'medvar mamur kishu yachid. Aval kishu b'miut v'arov sha'aminyan sherim efshar sh'mitzarim eim. So this is a chiddush in the opposite direction. That is, and this goes to the heart, one of the reasons that I quoted this particular tshuva, because I was talking about what is the role of mumar as an individual, and what is his role vis-a-vis carrying his weight, or accomplishing, or being perceived as a representative of Klal Yisrael in other matters. Here, you have a similar, but not exactly the same chiluk. What he's saying is, if as an individual he's kegoy l'chol advarim, still in the context of the tzibor, when he's tafel and not ikar, when we're not assessing him in his own right, but him as part of the blend of the community, in that sense, he not only can attach himself to the minyan, I would have been mechalik in that way, but he can generate the minyan as well. Even though we need him to generate the minyan, since he's a miut and we're not looking at him as an individual, we're looking at him as a piece of the tzibor, so the Torah's piece of the tzibor, he qualifies. Now again, that's not a stira to it, the chiluk I was making the other day, but it is an interesting, what I was saying was, as an individual, can he be the one who represents other Jews, right, in establishing documents of certain stature and accomplishing certain things on their behalf, etc. Here he's not talking about the individual, right, as a representative on behalf of other Jews. He's talking about the individual melting into a corporate entity called the Tzibor. And with respect to that, he thinks that maybe we don't say Mumbeluch Kolavar. So that's fascinating. And then he says, what's the difference between that and karbanos, especially since before he connected them? He says, the miut in karbanos is nemar b'torah miut. It says, miken below kolchem. Miken is a yachid. So far, if you look at every person bring the karbon, not talmud karbon sibur, talmud karbon yachid, we're told, some individuals, not other individuals. And as an individual, he's excluded. As for the question of Erevin, Limit Bitul Rishos, Shakali Karim Midrabanan, Arezuk Asfarish Ein Mamish Bitulo, Kiv Shakali Nikazar Nechshevlo, we don't care about him when it comes to Eruve Chatzeros, because he doesn't behave like he cares about it. Avokan Nehmar Vinikdashi Bizok Bnei Yisrael. Uklum Mumar Apilu La'akum Eino Bechalal Bnei Yisrael. It's not only Yisrael Afa Pishachat to Yisrael, but I think it's a wider. It is the same thing, really. It's not a halachic emotional, conviction that as much as possible, if we don't focus on him as an individual at least, but as part of the tzibor, that we don't want to leave him behind. And then, of course, he adds to demonstrating this point: Ha'rei Yisrael Momer Shekidesh Kiddushim Kiddushim. The Hagonim Asovrim Shein Kiddush of Kiddush of Melamed Rabbanan Halloween Halacha Kemosa. There are those who think that the din of Kiddush of Kiddush is only Rabbanan. I think I mentioned Maram Mintz and others. There is such a daya. But he says we don't paskin like that. With regard to Chalitza, then talks about Chalitza. I'm going to skip Chalitza. Let's skip to line 15, 14. And 15, Avalo Shu Eno Bechal Yisrael. Yisrael Shekhati Yisrael. Masha Vatsinu Bekam Makomos Hareu Ka'akum. Right, line 16. Zehaya Al Pia Dibor Obekoch Bezim Lemigda Milsa. Basically, what he wants to suggest is that instead of saying Yisraelach Mishachat Yisrael, who is the exception that applies only to him as an individual with regard to himself, he thinks the opposite is true. That whenever the Gemara says about a Mu'ala Kol Torah Kula, that Harei Kagoy L'Chol Advarim, that's the exception. And even where it's Daraisa, it's an exception, because we're looking at him Nikam, you know, we're talking about being selective. If we're going to be selective, certain individuals yes and certain no, then of course the first group that's no is a Mu'ala L'Chol Torah Kula. But that's the exception rather than the rule, whereas other poskim see it exactly the opposite way. Okay, and then third set of poskim see it as a trade-off, depending on you're talking about individual tzibor, as a representative for himself, meaning real criteria, as we witnessed in the Sefer Eshkol last week as well. Okay, and then he goes on to say another really unbelievably fascinating thing. On line 18, everybody still with me? I'll ask, leave time for questions in just a minute. He says, "Im ki raga b'lidrash halacha shel tanoim lidrash ribui legerim b'mokom shenemar b'nei Yisrael." This is a fascinating phenomenon, right? The ger is a full Jew. Last week we discussed, we talked about the Sefer Eshkol. I discussed, you know, he's not born of Jewish parents, right? Does that make him less or more or just different? We talked about it last week, we'll just mention it again. So he just points out that there are some times where even where Gerim are mostly included on almost all Dinim, there are a few things they're excluded from. Srara, a few other things. But mostly, you know, again, certain Bishos. But mostly, even when, in almost all things, Gerim are included. But often, we need a limud, we need a makar to be marba then. And the question is why? To marba ger. So here on line 19 he explains, Hainu shamna mikivin she Allah hareu ki Yisrael gomel l'chol devarav. Aval ben Yisrael einenu. Now she ain't came mumar, she afilu tomer she ain't a zakuk v'yibo. V'shein kedushin tosim in HaTorah, v'eino hu atzmo Yisrael gamor ad sheyosher b'tshuva shleima avol ben Yisrael hu shehoriv hayuk sheira Yisrael. So what he formulates here is a fascinating idea, which half overlaps the Eshkol that we read last week, or the Rebar Tziloni in the Eshkol, and that is that Gerim and Mumer L'Chol Torah Kula are parallel opposites. In other words, a ger is a Yisrael Gomor, even though he's not a Ben Yisrael, because he doesn't wish stock in Yichas. That affects very few dinim, right? But it's still a reason, what you have to know, you know, whether you're Marbe, what it counts, what doesn't. So a ger is a Yisrael Gomor, aval eino Ben Yisrael. But in the Shumad, even if you take the view that he's not a Yisrael Gomor, because his Shema, at least until he does Tshuva, really excludes him from being a proper Yisrael, but he's certainly not any less a Ben Yisrael. I mean, it doesn't affect that he's still the son of his parents. So what he's saying is, which dinim depend on categories? Either one of these categories, or in particular, one or the other of these categories. Which dinim depend on being Yisrael, and which dinim depend on being a Ben Yisrael? That's what he means. Then he goes on to say,
the parents have to be Keshewa Yisrael.
Say that again?
Why do the parents have to be Keshewa Yisrael? Why can't they be just a Mumer but not L'Chol Torah Kula? Why?
I don't think he means that. I don't think that's the distinction that he means. I think he means, I wonder if he means, you know, what will be,
like the Meiri.
I wonder if what he means is like the Meiri. Yeah. Meaning, what if the parents are Mumer L'Chol Torah Kula? Is he, and he is a Mumar, does he then have neither? Because he's not the son of Kishere Yisrael? Assuming that, and does that depend on the Shasleda? Probably. I wonder if that's what he means. He certainly doesn't mean, you know, Mumar L'Teyavo and Mumar L'Davar Echad. He certainly doesn't mean that. Kishere Yisrael is a good thing. Meaning somebody who is the Kishere Yisrael as opposed to Mumar L'Teyavo. Not Kishere Yisrael. That's what he means.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Good question. So listen to this. So he says, Hare Rambam, Eino Masne Shum Tnai Behokos Tfila, and Tfila Betzibor, he says, Shiyu Asarim Yisrael, Gedolim B'nei Chorin. Therefore, Ger Koshel Tzirof Asara, Lamad Mi Meiser Bablaz Shashichar Abdo, right, etc. Linnin Kiddush Hashem, Dibur Sanhedrin Al Asarim Yisrael, Blotzio Mumrim Bekal, Vareina Rambam Yisodi HaTorah Perakei, Iskir Pomer Mabot Asarim Yisrael Stal. So listen, here I think this is a little bit of a stretch, meaning obviously if the Rambam in so many places says that a Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula, I'm not talking about the Tinik Shenishvai Dina, it's a different story, get to that. But if the Rambam thinks that a Mumar L'Kol Torah Shabbos Parhesia is a Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula, and he says it in Nechos Shabbos, and in Nechos Avodah Zarah, in Nechos Ma'aser Karbonos, in Nechos Shkogos, in Nechos Shechita, and so on and so forth, does he really have to, every time he speaks about the requirement of Yisrael, does he have to say in Ma'at to Meshumet? It's implicit. But what you see from what Rav Herzog already has thrown down the gauntlet, he's already told us that in his opinion, based on his understanding of the Makoros and deep conviction both, he's already told us that he thinks that in the clash between Yisrael Afa Pishachata Yisrael and Harei Kegoy L'Chol HaDvarim, that Harei Kegoy L'Chol HaDvarim is a Chiddush, the Ein L'Chabo L'Chidusha. So from his point, if you're already committed to his overall perspective, then the fact that the Rambam in Kiddush Hashem and the Rambam in Echos Tfila, etc., never says an exclusion of Mumar is a Raya. But that's a big assumption. You have to already buy in. That's already preaching. This Raya is preaching to the committed, is what I'm trying to say. So that's an important point. The other thing to mention very quickly is as follows, and that is, the din, he says, and after all, I'll read one more line, Ulechor ikar kosov shavei nikdash tibesof ben Yisrael, hu le'inin kiddush Hashem, velo tafel chomor mina ikar. Now this is a very important point, so what he means by this is as follows. Again, the question is, the shaila is, whether or not you could be mitzarev mechal Shabbos b'farhesia to a minyan, right? And that's v'nikdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. So what he's saying is, the same pasuk is also the makar for the din of Kiddush Hashem that requires mesiras nefesh b'farhesia. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, right, that if it's, even if it's not gimel averos, if it's one of the mitzvos kalos, we'll say, right? But if it's b'farhesia, he has to give up his life. Why? B'nikdashti b'sok b'nei Yisrael farhesia. So the Rav Herzog says, well, that the din of mikdashti kiddush Hashem is pshat m'pasuk. A secondary pshat is, you know, creating a davar shebikdusha like a minyan. Does anybody think that a meshumad, that a Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula is not included in the witnessing audience that makes something farhesia for Kiddush Hashem? But then lo yehei tafel chamor mina ikar. But number one, again, he hasn't proven that when it comes to Chilul Hashem, that a Mumar Avodah Zarah or Mumar L'Chol Shabbos farhesia is included. That he's assuming that. Even if you make that assumption, I still think it's a flawed argument for the following reason. There's no din of Dover Shebikdusha. The din of the Nikdashti and Kiddush Hashem is a Chil Hashem Barabin issue. The Rishonim will think, and Yuri discusses this, that you might not even need 10 presents. it might be sufficient to have 10 know about it. Because it's the pearsum which matters. For example, I'll give you another example. There are quite a few poskim who think, this only makes sense, frankly, this is what makes sense. There's no difference between men and women when it comes to the 10 of Kiddush Hashem of Yehori Vayavar. In Chil Hashem, there's no difference between the genders. I have the same pasuk benitashi b'sof b'nei Israel is the makor that you know aim davar shemitusha pachas me'asara, and there it's clear that it's only. It's not even clear that you need gedolim, you know, as opposed to ketanim or ketanos when it comes to kiddush and kiddush Hashem. Meaning one is a din in pirsum, you know, a private desecration, a public desecration. Even though the same pasuk is used, it's used in different ways. In one case, it's used in terms of piercing. In the other case, it's used in terms of creating a collective, that's creating a corporate entity. Those are two different dinim. So just like there are two different dinim, possibly with regard to men and women, gedolim and ketanim, do they ought to be in the same place? Like, you know, a minyan is supposed to be within a single rishus. That's part of the issue related to, you know, some of these, you know, efforts to have balconies and other things we'll get into right now, but very well-meaning things, but dubious in some respects. But there's no such din in Kiddush and Chil Hashem. So I think that is a flawed argument, but I do think it's interesting that he's going in that direction. Anyways, let's just finish up. Because he knows you're going a little bit, you know, speculative. Says, on the other hand, even if it's Drabanan, it's probably patterned after Din Daraisa. Then he has an interesting idea. He says, till now he's been discussing Mumil Chal Shabbos Befarhesya. Right? And he's trying to find, you know, he believes that there are reasons for Lahakel. Now he's wondering whether that wouldn't also apply to Mumil Chal Shabbos. Which brings us to our next topic, but first I'm going to finish up with this, and that is, do we absolutely equate these categories? Namely, there are two, right? I'm excluding Yom Kippur and Yom Tov for now, or just they're under the rubric of Shabbos. But Mumil Chal as a Shabbos Farhesya and Mumil Avodah Zarah, are they the same L'Kol HaDvarim or not? Right? It's not clear in the Gemaras. And it's an interesting question for the Rishon. So in this tshuva, he's also discussing. He's saying maybe we should be more makel, you know, when it comes to Chil Shabbos Farhesya, should we also be that makel for Mumil Avodah Zarah? Sounds like he thinks he might be mechalek, so chiyum. Umash and Ipsak B'Shulchan Aruch, here's another interesting makar, right, in Orachayim, Sheminuda Einam Mitzarif La'Zarah. Halach is that if a person was put in Nidui by a Bezdin, by the community, he was outcast, formally, he can't be mitzarif to a minyan. Very understandably, it's not a punishment even, it's meaning his status has been affected. You're not allowed to join with him, and therefore it's not considered a proper joining, frankly. So if a menuda, who's not a mumil l'chol ha'tzara kula, can't join a minyan, wouldn't you say kol shekein a mumil l'chol ha'tzara kula? So says Rav Herzog, no. The Efshar Shazel me etzem din a nidui. That's what nidui is. The zebechlal haknas kadeshi avienu lihichana. You're using it as a lever. You want to force him to comply, to abandon whatever improper behavior, you know, he's involved with. So in that context, you are denying him Siriflaminia.
He said, but that's not true.
That's a very pragmatic understanding of Nidui. It's not the Nidui explanation that I gave before, that he's somebody who by definition can't be joined with. He said, but if that's the case, Machain came to Mechal Shabbos Befaresia, right? Habba Ba'akroi is followed the Tzibor. He happens to show up, you know, and he's making the minion. Shabar Lonu Shaydei Zeh Shalonu Tzarfenu Lo Yashuv Lishmor Shabbos Mechal Lo. If we say to him, you know, you can't, we're not going to let you join the minion. That's going to encourage him to abandon his Chilul Shabbos? Hadru Abba Nidchenu B'shtei Adayim. So Ureod Bashach Yoridea, this is line 32. Shemumala Barazola Tayava in Osayai Nessa. Kyotsubal Inyan Shabbos. Kilku Gauna Basroi. This is another interesting suggestion, and that is to distinguish between two types of Bakal Shabbos Bifarhesya. And this goes a little bit closer to the Tinok Shanishba idea. And that is the following. Bain Bakal Shabbos Bifarhesya Bimiskaram. A person has a business. Right, and he, afilu b'malachtam. If they she'ein lema omets, they don't have the courage. Lahakriv korban gadol kazeh, shal shmira Shabbos, b'mekomos yiduim. Right, v'hein manichim tefillin b'chol yom b'mispalim, b'shomrim kashrus. Dugmas elu hamechalim Shabbos shekatar koker odosam. So this is fascinating. He says, listen, who is this person that we're talking about? To be Mitzar of the minion. They can't get a minion every day. So who are they using? Some these Mechal Shabbos. Well, what kind of Mechal Shabbos before Hesia comes to minion every day? Puts on tefillin every day. It's insane. Like, what does that mean? But, you know, it's not so insane for us. I mean, for us, you know, it probably is a little, but we've all heard it. Right? I mean, the unbelievable Mesiris Nefesh, that people who, you know, who came to this country particularly, you know, didn't have any work, you know, and therefore no stability in their life. And the ones who were able, you know, to be Shomer Shabbos, to stand in that Nisayon, that was an amazing thing. Again, you know, High Arbitzfeld, Zecharno Lebracha, you know, we miss so much, used to always tell me, and Noach Diamond told me the same thing. I think both of their fathers were house painters, or they became house painters in America, because they kept losing their jobs every week they lost their jobs when they were at work on Shabbos. So they had to work for themselves. They became house painters. But these are the heroes who were Moser Nefesh to do that. But there were so many Jews who just weren't up to that challenge. And it's very hard to be, you know, it's very hard to sit in judgment. We know what the right thing is. Therefore, we should have extraordinary Shevach Vahodah and look at these people accomplished. Look at the families that they produced. But they're Mesiris Nefesh. So when we read in this tshuva, well, who are these people making this minion? And that some of the poskim said, well, this is the difference between Mechal Shabbos Parhesia, because that's his business, and he just can't, he doesn't have the strength of character to do the right thing. That's different than somebody who flagrantly flaunts Chil Shabbos Parhesia in the community. That's a very important distinction. But Ode, another distinction which is critical. Va'ud chilku ga'one basroi. Bein medino sherov Yisrael bahen mechalom shabbosos. She'oz kvar ein lach shovus ha-mechalo kekofer b'mais abracious. She'arei zeh utam shedino mechal shabbos b'fres kovar kochom and kumbor b'rashi. So if you come to, this is kind of what Reb Chaim said earlier about moridim v'lomalim. If the majority of the Jewish community or the Jewish world in which you live is Mechal Shabbos, it's harder to see it, it's not impossible in circumstances, but all things being equal, as an act of rebellion and as a as a way of denying my Subracists. Because that's not, you know, it's just so easy. Don't have the counter pressure, doesn't have that kind of... The whole culture of Shmir Shabbos, possibly, has been diluted for this person, you know, in the environment in which he lives. Again, I don't think you'd always say that, you know, no matter what the person's exposure was, his understanding was, etc. But it's certainly a factor, both from a reading of Lomar and then for, you know, Mumma Lachal Tzara Kula Arayu Kugoy. Ula Mikivin Shein Zu Kfir Bof and Yashir Elisha Masa Mochitka Vishamu Hafkafach Fa'amim Estapek. Maybe this guy is, you know, he's an agnostic. Ba'kochach Belkein Dafka Kishamei Is Kolkach Lachal Shabbos Bifnei Edom Yisrael. He says, why do you need Farhasya to begin with? Another perspective. Why do you need Farhasya? Shabbos is an oath. Kozman Shemishamer Shabbos of the Shuk. If he in public conducts himself, you know, as an observant Shabbos person, Adayin ha'os alav. I think that's questionable. If you think the os is something, you know, that is determined by other people's perspective. B'midi yadua. Zeh shanim she'erani Rav Gaon mefur samachot shlita shezeh nidrash b'mechilta v'rajbi muvan she'esh mokom l'chalei. And then he writes, v'yu'iyam b'shut binyan siyam. That's the reference from Yaakov Ettlinger about Tinek Shemishba that I made before, in a broader way. Below Ace Heosef Po. Right? Oda Shuba Dunu Lahari. Finally, he says, Bram, La'etzam Adavar, all these, convictions, you know, to relook at this in light of certain realities, again, not to be Makil, per se, but to try to understand the real Mechayev and the real Oser, and then to apply it precisely from this point of view, with Avos Yisrael, as well as Daikanut, you know, in the Halacha. He says, Bram la'etzma davar, shekavona shalosa yore v'chare, this man who left the money in the house and everything. He said, Val keren akeyema sahi, lo kach rotza v'lo kach kidei. He wasn't interested in any of all this. She b'minyan she yisodo yiyah, he left the money. So the issue isn't just an objective question of being the tzarev somebody to a minion. It's being, is this what he had in mind? In a harbi yesh l'harich, this is the line 8. Alkein ma'akar she katar kosev sheyesh baruch ha'shem shnei batei tefila k'sherim b'Kopenhagen v'ani maniach sheyesh b'chol yom minion shel shomer Shabbos k'yochaso. So again, even though practically he's citing Lechumra here, based on the wishes of the Morish, it's still a fascinating tshuva, which highlights, A, a lot of the issues we've been discussing, and B, which reflects some of the realities of the more modern era, including our own reality, which is very challenging. And the point here is, of course, Chalila, not that the reality dictates, you know, kula la'alacha, but that the reality is something that needs to be plugged in and assessed accurately, so that we know what the halacha really is. So there's a lot in Rav Herzog's tshuva that's very topic in the literature of Shalos and Tshuvos. It's a charged issue, and therefore you would imagine it's practical and it's symbolically significant. You would expect it would get that kind of treatment, and therefore it's a fascinating example of how Chachmim Sora, you know, responsibly, but differently, how they, you know, respond, you know, to challenges, ever while being responsible, you know, for the bigger system, but also being, you know, as precise as they can in these analyses. Okay, so what I want to do is I now want to turn my attention...
Even if you convert them to a minion, can you give them alios?
I mean, there's a lot of literature. He doesn't discuss this. Moshe Feinstein has, you know, all the posts can speak about it. I'll speak about it another time. Ramosha has some interesting tshuvas about that. I think Ramosha distinguishes between, he says, nobody shouldn't give any of Aryan. This is like earlier posts can say this. You know, they shouldn't give if somebody don't give him that aliyah. Those are two issues. Can you give him an aliyah? You know, can you give him that aliyah? But Ramosha speaks very much on the aliyah issue about, you know, whether or not, if somebody's really a mumar, l'kol tarma kula, and you think he's like kagoy l'chol advarim, his thing is that it's a bracha l'batala. He says it's a motzi shem shemayim l'batala. Unless you have a kind of an avarian who is a general believer, his behavior is out of sync with his ideology, or his actions, I should say, and, you know, and his ideology. So that's one of the ways that he looks at the issue of the problem. But, you know, all the post-game, modern post-game especially, because, you know, it's the beginning, like, everybody comes, they used to, in the good days. Now they don't anymore, it's Chabal. People used to come to Yizkor. I'm not talking about before coronavirus. I mean, so, you know, can you give these people an aliyah? Can you give them hadba? Can you give them psicha for Adams and Neros? You know, let's say he's a politician and he's a Jew and he's running for office, you know, and he wants to come to shul. You know, how can you not give him? Can you not give him? You know, what about the Din of Hanifa? There's a huge, vast literature on this topic. And every Rav in every community needs to have, you know, come to a conclusion about the guidelines of these things, because they come up all the time. And I was supposed to give a talk on this. You know, in the yeshiva they have a contemporary halacha series. So they once asked me to give a presentation on this topic, you know, the role of, or the status of members in the same way. Whatever Herzog or it's Juba or whatever. But, you know, they, so they wanted a presentation and they asked me also to ask my father to, you know, to team up with me, just, you know, to give some, you know, insight and examples over the years, you know, and how he handled not a rabbi in a shul. And it was an amazing, my father has just wonderful stories about how he, in a very dignified way, in a way that was, you know, as much as possible, extended kavod abrios to people, you know, what they allowed within the confines of the sandal. So not so much Mumer Labarazara, Mumer Kalashaz for Hesha, for sure, but a lot of that is Tinok Shanish, but other things, just my main new. Certainly in our communities, that's how we look at it, I think properly so. It's very hard to find a real one, you know, but a Mumer Labarazara, that's a different story. I mean, that's a, how do you deal with that? You know. So these are tremendously practical questions. They all touch on these conceptual topics. That's why, you know, the best way to be a good posek is to be a good lamdan. You know, it's to learn and to think about the topics and look for the patterns. And, you know, it's not, it takes a lot of effort and investment. But that's the way you have to do it. Okay. So I want to... Can I write another thing?
I was learning the Ramban this week, and I'm talking about Shemitah. In essence, Shekok, Baba, Eino Modi B'masif Reishis, Olam Haba. I thought it was fascinating to a similar idea of Rashi when he talked about that someone is called for the Shabbos. Now the Ramban is using that lashon that someone that doesn't agree to Shemitah is called for Eino Modi B'masif Reishis, Olam Haba. So, is there any idea that... I will tell you, last week I got some comments from my friend about saying I learned from Siva Shalom with my wife, so I could say, you know, honestly, I'm learning the Ramban with my wife. So, the Ramban, I choose my Chavrusa.
I'm sure, but I think it was fascinating, a good Chavrusa, by the way. I approve of the
Chavrusa. It's wonderful. but one act that lashon of someone that is kofer Shemitah, it's no more than my separation. I thought that lashon of the Ramban was fascinating.
Yeah. Well, there is, I mean, so the... Oh, first of all, the Chazal in the beginning of, the Medrash Halacha and the Sifra, Rashi quotes some of it, Ramban quotes some of it. You know, again, this, idea of Shabbos Haaretz, just like we talked about in Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbosah, the idea of Shabbos Haaretz is a very serious matter, and definitely a connection to Ma'aseh Bereishis. Even Ad Kedei Kach, that the Rishonim kind of discuss in Machos on Chapala, we say, Chiluk Malachos the Shabbos, Vein Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov. So, what about Chiluk Malachos to Shemitah? Because it's a Shabbos. So I think it's a really interesting point. Because again, it reminds us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is, the Borei HaOlam. And that's why every 7 years, we revert back to, the ownership of corporate Klal Yisrael, and we lose at least the proper expressions of individual ownership. Because Kili Haaretz, Kili Kedushas Haaretz. And that's part of Osei Shemayim Vaaretz. 100%. And the Ramban was particularly sensitive to these things, because the Ramban, his whole Zechat Yisrael and Maaseh Bereishis, the Ramban, these two twin pillars of Maaseh Bereishis and Tzias Mitzrayim. And Tzias Mitzrayim is also an expansion of Maaseh Bereishis, because it's, Tzias Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem, Yedias Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem. So that's why I think the Ramban in particular is very sensitive to it. And it's a great line, and it really does invoke the same ideas. I don't think anybody says that a Mumar L'chal Shvias is a Mumar L'chal Tarakula, but in terms of Chiluk Malachos, I do think it's based on that. Okay. So do I have another couple minutes since I was late? What's the consensus? I'll just get off just for the next point, just quickly, we'll try to finish it off next week. Everything. So far we've discussed different kinds of mumim. That's why it's taken a few weeks. Mumim l'teyavon, mumim l'haches, mumim l'osot davar, mumim l'chal shabbos farhesya, mumim l'avarazara, even something called mumim l'chal Torah kula, which is separate from those two. The question I want to raise now, and I want to finish with next week, is, are all mumrim, do they all work in the same way? Okay? Meaning, and let me explain what I mean by it. I mean, it's clear that there are some technical differences that differentiate the mumrim. For example, the pashtus, only mumrim l'chalas ha-shabbos requires farhesya, and not mumrim l'avarazara. Although I should add that in the Mordechai, here in the beginning of Chulin, he has a line where he talks about mumar, l'chal Shabbos b'farhesya, the Avodah Zara b'farhesya. But it's a strange formulation, and it's hard to know. No one else picks up on it. No one else certainly thinks it's true. But that could be for other reasons, technical reasons, or it could be for the reasons that Rav Herzog was referring to, or the reason that I referred to last week. What I mean is a bigger question, and that is, we discussed whether the reason that a mumar is, and a particular mumar is a mumar l'chal Torah kula, or even if he's a mumar l'osa davar, but he really is a mumar l'osa davar in a big way, is that because of the ma'isa aveira that he did, and the chomer ha'isur, or is it because of the rishus agavra, because it reflects a person, right, who has a religious personality, has turned his back on and betrayed know, he's a renegade to the Rabbanu Shalom and to the Torah, to the Jewish community. Now, we've seen that this is an interesting question and issue, but what we haven't discussed, what I want to raise is it possible that the different mumrim are qualitatively different in that way, and that therefore there are enough gemina between them? In other words, when I say that a mumr l'davar echad, let's say l'hachis, is mufka from that particular thing, right? And when I say that a mumr l'avodah zarah is a mumr l'chol Torah kula, and I say that a mumr l'chol Shabbos v'farhesia is a mumr l'chol Torah kula, do I mean all those three things in exactly the same way? Let's say somebody's a mumar l'hachis on shechita, okay? And according to, you know, or whatever, some other mitzvah. So is his exclusion in that mitzvah for the same reason that a mumar l'chol Shabbos v'farhesia and a mumar l'avodah zarah is, or not? Is it possible that they, that in some case it works as a ma'isa aveira, and in other cases it works as a mumra or a rishus agavra? And possibly, there may be nafkanim. I'll give you one group of nafkanim, and then I want to just talk for a minute or two about this other case that comes up here. One issue is an issue we touched on last week in the Beis HaLevi, we talked about Yom Kippur, and that is when we say about a mumra l'avodah zarah and a mumra l'chol Shabbos v'farhesia, that there are mumra l'chol Torah kula, does it have to be limited to the capital crime that they commit? Or can it even apply to the lav, maybe even a drabanon, maybe even an assay, right? Connected with that area. For example, let's say you violate Shabbos, b'tchumin alimid Rabbi Akiva, or mechaber. Right? It's not the no death penalty. Or let's say you violate a avodah zarah through isurei ana layidbak meuma minachem. There's no death penalty. Right? Or let's say, this is, again, you don't have to say the same in all of these, but let's say you violate the mitzvah saseh of shvisa b'shnabbos. Right? Not the lav. If that's possible. Knivasiyara. Shvusim, according to the Ramban. If you violate shvusim, according to the Ramban, maybe the Rambam, you violate the mitzvah say of Shabbos, but you don't violate a law in a Torah. Are you still a mumar l'chol Torah kula? So this is a massive debate among the poskim. But it's possible that it depends on what kind of mumar we're talking about. Because if the mumrius works through the ma'isa aveira, the chomer ha'isur, that it certainly shouldn't apply to drabanans or isurim klalim like lifnei iver or marisayin or even labin. It should require that you really violate the chomer ha'isur itself. I mean the one that triggers a death penalty. But if it's the implication of your betrayal which is significant, meaning it's not what you did alone, it's an aspect of what you did. Certainly this is true if you hold like the Beis HaLevi, that other perspective, which is, we know what's in your heart and what's in your head by what you're doing. It has nothing to do with Shabbos, even nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It has to do with Igloi Milsa, who you are, what you think, and what you believe. That could be even through a lav, or through an assay, or even possibly through a didrabanan. So this is one possible issue. There's mixed evidence on this topic. There are other nafkaminas as well, and I want to pick up at them next week, but I want to start with one of them very quickly today, because I don't want to leave without this. So the Mishnah says, if you have the new sheets today, of today, we finish with the other ones, but we'll need this for next week when we finish up. So the Mishnah says, Tashochet b'Shabbos. Next week is the last week before Shavuos. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, so we'll try, we'll try to finish this up, and I'll also try to speak a little bit about...
In Yana Dioma.
Yana Dioma. So the Mishnah says the following. Hashochet b'Shabbos to b'Yom HaKippurim. This is the Mishnah on Daf Yudal Ramad Aleph. Whoever doesn't have the sheets, you can see this part in Yudal Ramad Aleph. We're only going to speak for 2 more minutes now, so the part I'm going to get to is either on the sheets or in the Gemara. Hashochet b'Shabbos of Yom HaKippurim. Right? Afal Pisha Mischaya B'Nafsho. That's a capital offense. Shkita so kshera. His shkita is kshera. Okay. So the Bali Tosis asks the obvious question. Interesting, they don't ask about Yom Kippur. You know, according to the Beis Halevi, maybe they should have. But they ask the following question. Afilu b'meizid boi l'ukme, says Tosis. It seems like, based on the Shach Matari of the Gemara, that at least the Gemara thought that maybe this Mishnah, Hashochet b'Shabbos, means b'meizid, intentionally. Afilu b'meizid boi l'ukme, in which case, tema, he b'meizid, heich shkitaso sheira. If he's Shochet on Shabbos b'meizid, how could the shkita be sheira? Homo melechal l'shabbosos, Hasr lechem mishkitaso kinemukach leel. He's a mumer lechol tarakula, and the animal should be in a vela. What do you mean shkitaso kshera? Ba'od de begemara by la kumi b'nezid, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir islay b'perek ad kama, b'perek zebor mumer davarachet mumer lechol tarakula. But yeshlomer tahasam b'farhesia v'halcha b'tzina. The first answer Tosis gives is. In Achanami. But even if we're talking about Mezid, we're not necessarily talking about Farhestia. And the din that a Mechal Shabbos is a Mumma Lechol Tor Kula is only Befarhestia. But so Metzias doesn't line up, it's not a problem. Okay? Not an exciting way to answer a question, but that doesn't mean it's a wrong answer. It could be sometimes, you know, that's the right answer. But then Tosa says something more. Umiu, the Maidamuki Karabi Meir. So he says, "V'odei shlomar, the mishum pamachas lachoshev mumar, v'cheimash v'perik beis l'kamon." In order to be a mumar l'chol Torah kula, it's not enough that you violate once. How many times you need to violate? Tosis doesn't say. The Rajva says 3. Others disagree. Some say 2. But if you look at the Ramban, I'll just see the beginning of the Ramban and then we'll stop and I'll tell you what the problem is. The Ramban quotes Tosis as saying something a little bit different. And indeed, Tosis in different places say different things. Hoditznan, look at the Ramban. Hashokha b'shabashki tasek seriyesh lefarsha b'shokhi b'tzina. Some people explain that we're talking about shokhi b'tzina. Shilu b'farhesya reyomru mishumad chal shabd farhesya ki mishumad chal torah kulah. Tosa says, the actual shchita that makes you a mumar is not something which can disqualify the meat, only mikanu laba. That's different than the first answer of Tosis. The first answer of Tosis says, to be considered a mumar l'chol Torah kula, right, you need more than one time. The Ramban in the name of Tosis is saying, actually one time might be enough, but not, to just, but the same time, the same action, cannot turn you both into a mumar and the animal into the vega. Lemanaf kamina, very simple. Let's say you were shochet b'mezid, right? And this animal is now not in the vela. But are you a mumar l'chol Torah kula? So that the next action, not shchita, so the next time you do something, let's say, for example, you need 3 times. So the next time you're, according to Tosis, let's assume for the moment. Or you need two times. So let's say in the interim you did some other action, which is patzel, if you're a mumma l'chol tarei kula, is it patzel or not? Everybody with me? Okay. So this question, how many times do you have to violate to be considered a mumar? A. And B, even if you assume that all it takes is one to become a mumar, will that affect the animal itself or not? That's machlokas too, because according to the first day in Tosis, and we're talking about Bitsina, Tosis is saying, but if we were talking about the Parhesia, then this behema would also be in the Vela. So you have three views, right? One view is that you are a mumar and the animal is in the Vela at the same time. The Velaso, Mumraso, we'll say, Voenkiecha. The second view is that you are a mumma right away, right? But the animal, you're a mumma after or upon completion of this action, but the animal, right, since betchilaso, you weren't a mumma, is kosher. And the third view is that it takes at least two, possibly three, to turn you into a mumma. What is this question all about? The more you think that mumar is defined by the Maisa Aveira, well, why should you require repeat performances? Right? You did the Maisa Aveira. But if you need to be a Gavra mumar, if we need to establish your renegade status, your rebelliousness, right? To turn you into a kind of persona, often that requires multiple actions, a pattern of behavior. Moreover, even if you take the view that one time is enough, is it the Tchilas HaDavar or the Sof Davar? Even if the Maisa Aveira begins at the beginning, it's not till you complete the action that the action has the ability to label you, to identify you as a gavra, mumar, or a vary. So in these three views, we'll see a little more next time when we finish this up. In these three views, we seem to have a very lively discussion whether mumar is defined by the Maisa Aveira or by the shame gavra mumar, and whether that shame depends on sof davar or even on Mispar Maisin. But what's equally fascinating is, when it comes to this question, let's say you need three to be a Mumma L'chol Tarei Kula for Shabbos. Is that also true for Avodah Zarah? And is it true for Mumma L'davar Echad L'inyan Oso HaDavar? The evidence is very mixed. And in particular, as the Mishnah Malach points out for the Rambam, there seem to be stiras. And the Mishnah Malach said, I don't understand it. In some places, the Rambam seems to require three times, or several times, a pattern of behavior. And in other places, it sounds like one action makes you a mumar. What's the difference? But what we may answer, and this is what I want to leave you to think about, and I'll pursue it next time, what we may say is that even though there are different, you know, even though getting to be a mumar, it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing, make that clear, we're talking hypothetically, achieving the status of mumar may be the same in terms of the effect, but the road to mumrius may be different, and the nature of different mumrim may be different. In some cases it's the chomer maiso aveira, in other cases it's the shame gavra rasha mumar, and therefore, when it comes to all these questions, Lavin or Misa? Three times or one time? Either the beginning of the action or only the end? Shuvah, I'll give you another example of this we end. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, and then later in the postgame, we say that a mumar cannot bring a korban. Only if he hasn't yet done Shuvah, or as long as when he did the Aveira, he hadn't yet done Shuvah, even if he subsequently did Shuvah. In other words, He was an Avarian, right? He did a Maisa which would trigger a Korban. And then afterwards he was Chozer B'tshuva. We want to know, can you bring a Korban now? So on that issue, there's a debate, there seems to be a debate, and mixed evidence as to whether or not he can bring a Korban or not. Whether Mikem Velo Kulchem Lehotzi Esam Mumar applies even to someone who's a Baal Tshuva if his Tshuva came after the Maisa Aveir. Again, I think it depends exactly on is Mumar a Din in the Maisa Aveira, or Mumar is a Din in Rishus Agabra and in the shame Mumar the Gabra. Okay, so we'll finish with this. Next time we'll speak about Shavuos next time, and I wish you all a good and healthy week.
Thank you.
Is there a problem of mitzvah habam and aveira?
In what? No.
Pizza.
No, I don't think so. Because he's a Gabra Avarian, but he's not doing an aveira at the time of mitzvah. Meaning even the relationship between a mitzvah of aveira and that fusion anyways has its own very strict rules. Yeah. You know, it's challenging to figure out what they are. But here it's even less than that. It's a Gabra Mumar, but he's not doing it on the Shabbos. You mean in the Shabbos case?
Yeah.
I didn't understand. I hear. Okay. Yeah, no, it is an Aveira, but the issue in Shkita is not the mitzvah of Shkita, it's the Heter Basar of Shkita. Either way, that's not a mitzvah of Aveira question. You know, I guess you could ask, you know, does he lose out the mitzvah of Shechita and the bracha? That might be an interesting question. But in terms of the heter achila, that wouldn't be an issue.